We talk a lot about achieving goals and living your dream life here at Success. The reason the two are inseparable is because without goals, you don't have direction, a compass to guide you to your desired destination. But there's more to it than just goals. It's about living a full, well-rounded life of excellence. So I asked my good friend, Robin Sharma, to stop by and give us his take. Robin is one of the world's top leadership experts and the author of 12 number one international bestsellers, including The Leader Who Had No Title and The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. He's spent over 15 years working with many world-class performers at every level, and today he's going to help you become a peak performer in your chosen endeavor. Robin, welcome back to Success. The last time we did this, the interrogation lamp was pointed the other way, so it's good to have it shining back on you.
You're getting back at me, Darren. No, it's fantastic to be back with you again.
So, Robin, let's start out at 30,000 feet here. Give us a few of your high view philosophies of success, those that have guided you into the greatness that that you are now. I think you call these first principles on success. Share a few of those.
Absolutely, Darren. The first is nothing fails like success. You know, when we are successful, I know so many of your listeners and your readers of Success Magazine are successful, not only personally, but their organizations. Well, we're in a very vulnerable position when we're successful, because when we're successful, it's so easy to take your eye off the customer. When you're successful, it's really easy to become complacent. When you're successful, it's really easy to stop iterating and innovating. When we're successful, it's easy to lose what I call that startup hunger. You know, the sparkle in your eye that you had when you were starting your business, maybe in your garage, dedicated and devoted to giving 10x value to every customer you did business with. And I'll give you a specific example. I was in Paris giving a presentation a few weeks ago, and I dropped into my favorite steak frites restaurant. I've been there about 6 times. Each time the food was magnificent. I mean, I was a fanatical follower of this restaurant, so I went in there for a nice lunch. Well, this time they were super successful. There was people standing out on the street. The place was packed, and here's my user experience. I walked in. The server didn't even look at me. She didn't even say bonjour. She didn't even make a connection. She just basically pulled out her pad, you know, took the order, delivered the food, and walked away. And I think that's a great example of nothing fails like success. A few more first principles. Success is not the realm of genetics. Success is the realm of practice. So a lot of us as entrepreneurs, it's so easy to say, you know, well, I'm not a Steve Jobs, and I'm not a Richard Branson, I'm not a Fred Smith, I'm just an ordinary entrepreneur. Well, that's a great defense mechanism not to get in the game and do something genius in your business, in your career. I mean, if we were to go to the research of Anders Ericsson, he's the preeminent researcher in the emerging field of exceptional performance. What you'll realize and see from this science is that every single so-called genius took 10 years of devoted, deliberate practice before even the first sparks of genius began to appear. I mean, Mozart was 6 years old when he started playing the piano. His father was a piano coach. So the great athletes are not about genetics. The great entrepreneurs are not about genetics. The great athletes, the great entrepreneurs, the great chess champions are people who had a monomaniacal focus on being world-class at their craft.
You know, it's funny on that note, Robin. I remember watching back in the day of the dynasty of the San Francisco 49ers when I was growing up, and John Madden said this about Jerry Rice. He said, the best player in the NFL loves to practice. He said, everybody wants to be on a championship team, but nobody wants to practice. So when it really comes down to it, it's not, as you said, genius. It is that dedication to practice over an extended period of time. You mentioned 10 years, and that's when people start calling you genius, right?
Absolutely, Darren. So a few other first principles. We all know this. Often we don't practice it, but take care of the relationship and the money will take care of itself. I mean, as we all know so well, but we forget it so often. You know, Herb Kelleher said it beautifully, far more elegantly than I ever could. He said, the business of business is people. And so, you know, we sometimes forget that the whole purpose of business is to delight customers. The whole purpose of business is to birth genius level value to as many people as possible. The whole purpose of business is to build high trust relationships where we make people smile and help our customers get to their dreams. And it's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
Also, we're paid not just to work, we're paid to be scared. I think that's another first principle for us as entrepreneurs in these turbulent times. I mean, we are literally paid by our customers to push the envelope. And all too often, what do? We do the same thing every day. We think the same thoughts. We don't iterate our products or our services. We stay in that safe harbor of the known.
It was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, do something every day that scares you. And that's actually been a principle when I lay in bed when the alarm first goes off and I'm thinking about my day. I actually think about that. What am I going to do today that scares me a little bit? To know that I am iterating on improvement, you know, each day, every day. Do something every day that scares you.
I think that's exactly it. We are paid to play out on the edges versus spend the best hours of our days playing Angry Birds on our iPhone.
I've heard you call this period that we work and live in right now, the age of dramatic distraction. And, you know, it's one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs are making day in and day out, almost moment to moment. So give us your take on that. And what's the dilemma that we're faced with? And then what are some of the ways that we can keep ourselves from being constantly derailed throughout the day?
I think we're in a war, and here's one of the wars that as entrepreneurs we're in. It's a war against distraction. It's a war against people trying to take our time. It's a war against this world where it's designed in so many ways to keep us entertained and distracted. And you know, average people love leisure and distraction. World-class people love learning and getting big things done. So let's go right to the research, if we may, Darren. On an average day, the average entrepreneur is spending 2.1 hours in distraction. Every 11 minutes, we're interrupted. And it takes 25 minutes to get back to the alpha state that we were in before we got distracted.
Now, that math doesn't work, Robin. If you're distracted every 11 minutes and it takes you 25 to get back into refocused, the outcome of that is we're never focused.
A lot of us are never focused. You know, I do a lot of work with leading entrepreneurs around the world and CEOs, Darren. And I got to tell you, the past 2 years especially, I have never seen these people in the room so distracted. Literally, I mean, you know this as a speaker as well and as a consultant as well. What you have to do now to keep the audience engaged and riveted on your points is harder than it's ever been. Why? Because we are so used to checking our Twitter feed. We are so used to going to Facebook. We are so used to picking up the iPhone and checking it versus doing what genius level entrepreneurs do. They all had a few things in common. They could sit still and focus totally on a singular problem to get to a fantastic solution.
Let me amplify something else here, because I think it was actually came out of a book that you recommended that I read, Robin, which was Hamlet's Blackberry. And the issue that was pointed out in that book is that there's another drop in productivity. 28% of our productive focus is wasted on what we think is multitasking when we're thinking we're being more productive, but you actually can't multitask. You can only switch. And then I read this report in CNN that says switching makes you dumber than if you were stoned. Your IQ drops by 10 points when you are switching from task to task back and forth, you know, like listening to a conference call and checking email or participating in a meeting and getting a text. And it only drops 5 points if you smoke marijuana. So literally people are walking around dumber than if they were stoned based on how we are operating in our daily productive lives.
Absolutely. And world-class entrepreneurs are all minimalists. I call it the Michelangelo metaphor. When Michelangelo was getting ready to do his incredible masterpiece, David, here's what he did. He looked at the block of marble. He envisioned with acute clarity what David would look like, and then he chipped away at all of the marble that was not of his masterpiece. And so for us, the challenge is to chip away at all of the noise that is not of our vision. Our challenge as entrepreneurs is to chip away at all the distractions, to chip away at all the interruptions, to chip away at all the layers of complexity we've not unknowingly allowed to get into our day. And I'd love to take you through some tactics that I love to share with my audiences and clients, if I may.
Yeah, please. Everybody gets that we're overwhelmed and distracted. So what are some of the strategies to sort of keep ourselves from being constantly pulled off task?
Number one, get lost and find your place of genius. I mean, I think as entrepreneurs, we really have to find this little sanctuary away from the office, away from the noise, and away from the world to get big work done. My example is this. Our headquarters are in Toronto. About 15 minutes away from our offices is University of Toronto. Well, I've actually found this little cafe, and it's obviously not going to be private anymore, but I found this little cafe that's populated by these 18-year-old university students drinking coffee and talking about their courses. And I literally go in there, I turn off my iPhone, I turn off my BlackBerry, I don't bring any other technology, and I focus on thinking, strategizing, and planning there. Second tactic. First 90 minutes of your day only on value creating activities. And Darren, I know you teach this as well, but that's a key thing. You get into the office, just to be very tactical, you get in the office, you turn on your iPhone for 90 minutes, and all you do is work that makes money and creates value for your stakeholders. Then the key is you take 10 minutes to recover, and then you go do another 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Third tactic, mess-free environments. Well, we all have read the Steve Jobs biography by Isaacson, and even Andre Agassi's autobiography. And two things I walked away from after reading those two books. Mess creates distraction. So here's what the research and science says. We wake up in the morning, we have a full well full of focus. But when the radio's on in the car, when someone interrupts us, when we go into the airport and, you know, there's a TV going, all those distractions starts to deplete our focus. So what we want to do is have mess-free environments. Fourth tactic, 60 minutes a day without stimulation. Here's why. Sometimes the most productive thing you can do is to relax. I mean, where do us as entrepreneurs get our multi-million dollar right angle turn game-changing ideas? It's in the bathtub or in the shower or on the beach or, you know, walking in the woods. And that's because our brain drops into alpha state. So what we want to do is find 60 minutes a day where our brain is relaxed, our body is relaxed. That will actually make you more money.
Somebody put it to me this way, Robin, that we get paid to rest. I mean, if you think about an Olympic champion, they got to train intensely, but then they have to rest and recover. So their rest and recover is part of their performance training. Without the rest and recovery, they cannot be an Olympic athlete. So we are the same in our work environment. If we are just intensely working without any rest and recovery, our performance will dip. So rest and recovery is part of our optimum performance, which means that you get paid to rest. See it as a productive activity, and it might actually change your framework, and then ultimately your performance will increase as well. So, Robin, I want to ask you a question that I get asked a lot, because you also mix and coach a lot of superstar performers and achievers. So share some of the patterns that you've seen, some of the consistent traits that you observe in some of these superstar performers, so that the rest of those listening can say, okay, those are the things I want to focus on if I want to improve myself as well.
Strategy is important. Products are important. Branding is important. Marketing is important. But I think we all know at the core of a Steve Jobs or a Richard Branson, who I had the privilege to spend 60 minutes with in Romania recently, or the Sergey Brins of the world, it's mindset. And again, let's go to the research for anyone who might be dismissing this. The number one factor for entrepreneurial success, according to the science and research, is this word called grit. It's not intelligence. It's not genetics. It's grit. This ability to pursue a vision and believe in a vision when the rest of the world is mocking you, the rest of the world is discounting you and trying to discourage you. And you literally have the grit to say, no, this is my vision. This is what I stand for as an entrepreneur. Here's what I'm going to do. What else do these people, these billionaire level entrepreneurs, do or think? What I found is they lust for the best. They just want the best wine. They want to fly the best. They want to wear the best clothes. Good enough is just not good enough. Also, you know, Steve Jobs said it well. It's not about the money. Money is a byproduct of value created. So the billionaires and the world-class entrepreneurs are relentless value creators. They understand that to make millions, you have to be devoted to helping millions, because money and profit is a byproduct of giving 10x value to multiple streams of human beings. And then another thing I noticed in these people, they suffer from OAD and they're proud of it. You know, they just have this love of details. You know, you go to the Crosby Street Hotel in New York, for example, or the Park Hyatt Hotel in Buenos Aires, two of my favorite hotels. And you just see, you know, OAD, an obsessive attention to detail in action. And I find the best business people, they just sweat the little details unbelievably. And I think the core thing that these people all have is they're all obsessive learners, just like you and I are, Darren. I mean, they are members of Traffic University. They're in the car and they're listening to your CDs or they're listening to audiobooks, and they get that to double your income, triple your rate of learning. I had lunch with this entrepreneur. He's worth $200 million. And here's what he said over lunch. He said, "Robin, when I spent 3 hours a day, 3 hours a day in personal development, that's when I was making the most money."
I like it. So one of the lessons you're well known for, Robin, is what's called the Big Five, the Daily Five, the Nightly Three. And this is a formula for getting big things and accomplishing big things. So share this formula with us and then how we can enact it in our own performance.
Well, the Big Five came from a visit I had to a safari in South Africa, and I was on this game reserve, and the ranger says, "Well, here's the Big Five game." And he pointed out, you know, water buffalo and the lion. And I went back to my hotel room later that night, and I asked myself this question. It was really a turning point for me. I asked myself, what's my Big Five game? What are the five things that need to happen before the last hour of my last day for me to feel I lived an extraordinary life? And I've sort of brain tattooed that to my mind. And every Sunday morning, as I go through my planning process, building out my week, the first thing I do, I look at that mountaintop. I look at those five priorities and I build my schedule around those five things. The Daily Five. Well, what's that about? Well, every morning you get up while your competition is asleep, because you definitely want to get up early. It's such a key tool. And in that quiet hour, maybe after you've exercised, you ask yourself, what are five little things that I could achieve today so this is a valuable day? Because our days, as you know so well, our days are our lives in miniature. And if we were to achieve five little goals every day at the end of 1 year, that's 1,850 little goals. It's simply not possible for this to not be your absolute best year yet if you've achieved nearly 2,000 little goals. And then the nightly three, well, that's gratitude. I mean, that's so important for an entrepreneur to maintain perspective. You lay in your bed or you pull out your journal before you get into bed. And what do? You ask yourself this question. What are three good things that happened to me today? Now, even if you had the worst day in the world, if you train your brain to go, what are three good things that happened to me? You'll find them. And then you start to feel the sense of gratitude, which actually affects your neurobiology. It releases some pleasure chemicals. You start to feel better. You start to get some momentum, and you go from being discouraged to encouraged.
Now, one of the reasons why I love having you on our Success CD, Robin, as well as having you as a friend, is that you have counterintuitive ideas about success and achievement, and it makes one pause and think. So tell us your latest strange ideas to help us get our big goals done and improve our productivity.
Well, you know, just you mentioned friendship, and I just want to acknowledge how much I value our friendship, Darren. I think, you know, you're definitely one of the most inspiring people I know. And every time we walk away from a dinner or a lunch, I sort of feel that energy for about a month. So thank you for that. I'll get right into it. A counterintuitive idea is eat less food, get more done. So caloric restriction is a word that a lot of scientists are talking about and studying right now. And they studied it in rats. So they had these rats that they gave less food. And what they found was these rats almost became elite performing rats. They lived longer. They performed better. They were just these special rats. And I think as entrepreneurs, we often forget that our food affects our moods. The food we eat affects our energy. It affects our stamina. So by eating less food, we'll have more focus, we'll feel stronger, we'll be able to nail our to-dos. Another counterintuitive idea is the one I sort of alluded to earlier, which is sometimes you have to relax. No, not sometimes. On a daily basis, relax to be more productive. So build in your bursts of elite performance and high productivity with 10 minutes drinking some tea or going for a walk, and then come back to work, work another 90 minutes on a key project, and then, you know, maybe close your eyes and visualize or listen to some great music. Because when you relax, your brain goes up to alpha state. That's when you get your multi-million dollar ideas, which allow you to change the world. And then related to that, another counterintuitive tactic is what I teach to our clients, and I call it the $1 million vacation strategy. And I actually, the clients that I coach one-on-one, I encourage them every 6 weeks to take 1 week off. And they are horrified when they hear this, Darren. They say, what would people think if I was, you know, away for a week every 6 weeks? But here's the thing. Once they do it, they go to Barbados or they go to, you know, Italy or they go to Thailand for a week. But they get their best ideas when they are on those trips. They do their best thinking. They re-strategize. They come back so much stronger. They actually make millions and millions of dollars as a result of having vacations.
I wrote an article called Your Competitive Advantage is Rest. Just in the U.S., Robin, 438 million vacation days were failed to be taken just last year. And yet we're number one in depression and mental health problems. We have more burnout, reduced productivity, diminished creativity, failed relationships, and stress-related ailments like heart disease, stomach ulcers at record levels. So going back to this idea that you get paid to rest, this idea of sprint and recover, work really hard with great intensity, deep focus, and amazing creativity, but then recover. Work with intensity and then recover. So this idea of this 6 week rhythm, I think is great because those 6 weeks of work, you'll get more done than probably 6 months prior because you will have had that recovery period that you can then go back into intensive, deep focused work. So Robin, I want to be sure that, we leave this discussion today with some homework, some things that people can follow up on and start seeing results with. So tell us what we could do starting today. If you were to give people a kind of an ABC or a 1-2-3 plan to turn some of this these ideas into results, what would it be?
As entrepreneurs, we have to get our mornings right. I mean, winning starts with our beginning. I mean, that period from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock every single morning for us as entrepreneurs is the time of least distraction. So that's when we want to do our most important work and prepare our mindset and our heart set and our days. So, you know, one of the things you want to do is get up early. I learned this one from my dad. You want to, you know, win the battle of the bed, put mind over mattress. It'll take you about 40 days of trying to get up early and frustration because you're installing a new habit and you're trying to get through escape velocity around that habit. But after 40 days, you're up at 5 o'clock. And then what do? You take that 1 hour. And you do the exercise that we've been talking about. And then you go upstairs and you write in a journal. And then you do ask yourself, what is my daily five, those five things that I must achieve today for this to be a valuable day? And then you look at your schedule. You maybe have a cup of coffee, which is one of nature's best antioxidants. And you find yourself really prepared for a great day. What else can you start doing today? I call them the five dailies. Daily goal setting. Daily risk taking, because if you're not scared a lot, you're not growing very much. Daily exercise. You know, why be the richest person in the graveyard? Because true wealth is health. Daily iteration. What's iteration? Well, little improvements every day. You know, if little improvements over every day over time lead to some stunning business results and personal results. And then finally, what we can start doing today is be grateful. I mean, I think of that Persian proverb that's also a brain tattoo for me, which is, I cursed the fact I had no shoes until I saw the man who had no feet. Mm. And you know, a billion kids went to sleep hungry last night. And what do? We get frustrated if there's too much traffic or if someone isn't polite to us in a breakfast line. And I think, you know, what makes a great entrepreneur and even, Darren, I think a great human being is in a world where so many people are so distracted and they're so busy being busy and they've lost sight on what it means to be an entrepreneur and what it even means to be a human being. We are like in rare air and we stay grateful. Even for the littlest things, you know, maybe it's that customer who sends us a thank you note, or it's that difficult employee who made the right angle turn and is now doing much better, or the opportunity to confront a fear. I mean, I think the purpose of business is to confront our fears and to grow in our talents and to express our genius. So those, I think, are a few things we can do every day to make sure that happens.
Well, Robin, this has been a delightful and inspiring conversation. As you said, from our encounters at lunch or dinner, you leave with a month of inspiration that you feel emboldened. I'm sure that everybody listening to this conversation will also have that month's worth of inspiration and boldness as a result of their hearing this fantastic discussion. Thanks so much for coming and sharing your great insights with us here at Success.
It's been an honor, Darren. Thanks so much.
Success Magazine Audio, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.